Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please Him." Friend, if you're looking for the language, the love language of God, it is faith, that's for sure. Hebrews 11, verse 6, hey, happy Thursday. Yeah, 2 days into a brand new month. Can you believe it's May already? Yeah, 5 months into this brand new year. Friend, I pray that you are just blessed today. This is Great News Radio. My name is Joey Kroll, and welcome to Mark and Friends today. I am the friends part. It is a joy to be here with you. I got my cup of coffee over here and got God's Word, and I'm just hanging out with you today. Just you and me, just living life together, and it is a joy each and every week. And I'll tell you what, if you want to have a fantastic evening, an unforgettable evening, I really encourage you to attend the Ivan Parker concert on Saturday night, June 8th, literally right around the corner, at First United Methodist Church in Urbana. The Singing Men of GNN will be there. Ivan Parker's coming back. He's been in town several years in a row. It really speaks volume to just the night of ministry that that takes place. And he's just got a wonderful voice as well. Again, he's going to be in concert. First United Methodist Church in Urbana, Saturday night, June 8th, 7 p.m. It's a free will love offering for those who want general open seating. But to really throw a cherry on top, there's an artist circle reserve seating with a meet and greet, a meet and mingle with Ivan Parker before the concert. That's $25 per ticket per person there. If you want more details on that and pursue that option, just give us a call here at the radio ministry, 217-367-7777, or visit our website, greatnewsradio.org. That's going to be a fantastic trip right there. And speaking of Ivan Parker, we're going to play a good song from him coming up here in just a few moments. But today we're going to be talking about why I believe the Bible. I have four undeniable truths on why I believe the Bible, and so should you. That's coming up right after this from Mr. Ivan Parker on Great News Radio.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds a call, and at the midnight cry we'll be going home when Jesus steps out on the choir to call God's children. The dead in Christ shall rise to meet Him in the air, and then those that remain will be quickly changed at the midnight cry when Jesus comes again. How many believe that Jesus is coming back for the church? And don't it make you want to shout? Hallelujah. Oh, I look around me and I see prophecies fulfilling. Oh, and signs of the time, they're appearing can almost hear my Father.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Great News Radio today. It's Mark and friends. It's Thursday. It's Joey Kroll. And the Bible. The Bible. It's the number one selling book of all time. It was George Washington who says it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. Herbert Hoover said, the whole of the inspiration of our civilization springs from the teachings of Christ and the lessons of the prophets. To read the Bible for these fundamentals is a necessity of American life. Andrew Jackson said that book is the rock on which our republic rests. Ronald Reagan said, within the covers of the Bible are the answers for all the problems men face. Amen to that. And so today we're going to be talking about why I believe the Bible. Now, in all honesty, while these great men who I quote it believed in God's word, believed the Bible, not everyone does. Let's just be honest for a second. And so today I'm going to give you four compelling reasons why I believe the Bible. If you have, if you do have your Bible, turn, if you would, if you're able, to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And today we're going to be talking about why I believe the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The Bible says that all scripture, all of it, not some of it, not the ones that we like, not the ones that we only have highlighted, not the ones that are in red letter. Friend, all scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is given by the breath of God. In fact, what you're hearing from me right now is my breath. I've taken breath into my lungs. My diaphragm is pushing out, pushing against my lungs and pushing that breath up out of my throat, over my tongue. My lips and teeth are taking in that breath. My vocal cords are making noise, and my lips and my teeth and my tongue are forming sounds that you hear. So really what you are hearing technically is my breath. My breath. The Bible is the breath of God. It is the word of God. And so here, dear friend, are four reasons why I believe the Bible. Number one, science proves the Bible. Science proves the Bible. In Paris, there's an art museum and library in central Paris. And they have a large selection of books there. In one section of books, there are 3.5 miles of books on the topic of science. 3.5 miles. That's a lot. That's a lot. 3.5 miles of books on science. And here's the crazy thing. Almost every one of them are obsolete. Why? Because science is changing. Because what is called a scientific fact in one era is not in this. In fact, in 1861, there was a French Academy of Science that wrote a little pamphlet, a little booklet. It was an anti-God, anti-Christian little book. And they listed on what they called 51 facts that prove the Bible is scientifically wrong. This little pamphlet, this little book entitled 51 Facts That Prove the Bible is Scientifically Wrong. And friend, let me tell you something interesting about that. Today, over 150 years later, there is not one reputable scientist who believes one of those so-called 51 facts. Science is changing. Science proves the Bible. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 40, it talks about the spreading out and the expansions of the heavens, the solar system. Yet scientists didn't discover that expansion until the early to mid 19th century. They're like, hey, look what we found. God's word is like, no. It was already talked about in Isaiah 40:22 and Jonah chapter 2. It tells us that there are mountains on the ocean floor. Yet scientists didn't discover them until the 1920s. In Leviticus chapter 17, it tells us that our blood is the source of life and health. See, up until the 19th century, doctors believed that vapors would enter the blood and cause sickness. In fact, they would do some crazy things because of that belief. If they had a severely sick patient, they would cut the veins. Yes, you heard me correctly. Cut the veins of their patient so they would drain the blood out of them to cure, quote unquote, them from their severe sickness. If I remember correctly, I think that's how George Washington died. He bled to death. See, and it took them many years and many lives to understand that healthy blood is necessary to bring life-giving nutrients to every cell in the body. Adrian Rogers once said, hey, you give scientists enough time, perhaps they'll catch up with the Bible. I mean, really, science confirms and proves the Bible. Prophecy proves the Bible. It's the ability to tell you about what's going to happen. A prophecy is a pre-written history. That's what that is. And in fact, the book of Daniel, I'll tell you what, the book of Daniel is so vivid in prophecy, many people believe it was written after the fact. The book of Daniel predicted the rise and fall of 4 world empires. And guess what happened? We saw the rise and fall of those world empires. Amos predicted that Israel would be restored as a nation in Amos 9:15, and praise God, that was fulfilled in 1948. In Mark chapter 13, Jesus predicted the complete destruction of the temple. Well, guess what? That was fulfilled in 70 A.D. The Old Testament gave prophecy concerning our Savior. In Isaiah 7:14, it said that he would be born of a virgin. Well, that was confirmed. In Matthew 1:25, Micah 5:2 said that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Well, that was confirmed in Matthew chapter 2. Zechariah 11 tells us that he would be betrayed with 30 pieces of silver. That was confirmed in Matthew 26. In Psalm 22 said that his clothing would be divided at the cross. Well, that was confirmed in John 19:24. Psalm 16:10 said that he would be raised from the dead. And praise God, that was confirmed in Luke 24:6. Friend, prophecy proves the Bible. Science proves the Bible. And archaeology proves the Bible. A renowned Jewish archaeologist once claimed that it may be stated that no archaeological discovery has ever controverted a biblical reference. In other words, nothing that has ever been unearthed brought doubt to the Word of God. If anything, it proved that the Bible is true. When Moses departed the Red Sea, the Israelites, they walked on dry land. But when Pharaoh's army got between the waters, the Bible says the Lord drowned them. And do you know what they found recently at the bottom of the Red Sea? I saw a documentary, a couple of them, about this. They found chariots and other items from Pharaoh's army at the bottom of the Red Sea. Yeah, go ahead, look it up on YouTube. There's documentaries on that. It's amazing. A tablet was found that contained an inscription about King David. And the stone, the tablet, made a reference to a military victory that was described in 2 Chronicles 22. And that shattered the whole long-held belief that many skeptics believed that David was a mythical person. The book of Daniel tells us of the Babylonian Empire, and it tells us that the last king in Babylon was a king by the name of Belshazzar. And so historians said, wait a second, that's obviously false, that's obviously fabrication, because that's not real history, because according to the records of ancient Babylonians, we have that the last king was not Belshazzar, it was a man by the name of Nabonidus. And so these historians said, ha, the Bible is false. It's false. Well, one day, dear friend, archaeologists found a clay tablet, a cylinder, and they found out that Belshazzar was indeed the last king of Babylon. But so was Nabonidus. Because the truth of the matter was, they were co-regents. They were two kings that ruled at the same time. Nabonidus was the father, Belshazzar was the son, but Nabonidus didn't always stay home. He loved to travel, and so when he left on vacation, left out of town, so to speak, he left the kingdom in the charge of Belshazzar. Friend, archaeology proves the Bible. Science proves the Bible. Prophecy proves the Bible. And finally, the Bible proves the Bible. Now, wait a second. I know what you're thinking. Wait. You're going to tell me that you're going to take the claim of the Bible, which tells you that it is true. All the others are fake. You're going to take that. Wait a second. See, friend, here's the thing. Think about this. God used about 40 human writers to write his word, spanning over thousands of years. Process this with me for a second. 40 human writers, spanning over thousands of years, and not even one contradicts the other. You ask a good detective when they're looking to solve a crime, and they have three suspects, what they do is they don't put all the suspects in the same room. You know, then they can come up with a good tale. But what they do is they take each suspect and put it in three different rooms, and they ask them the same questions. And what they do is, after talking with all the suspects, they look at their answers and see if the story matches up. If three different people are telling three different stories, wait a second, something is wrong. Dear friend, if you took all the writers, all the Bible writers, Moses, if you took David, if you took Peter, if you took Paul, if you took John, if you took Luke, you took all these wonderful men and you put them in separate rooms and asked them the same questions, I'll tell you what, you're going to get the same answer. Because if the Bible was written by man, let me tell you something, dear friend, there would be contradictions left and right. It would be a joke. But God used these writers to write the same story, his story, all from a different perspective and all for a different purpose. And they line up and they all check out. Friend, God's word is true and can be trusted. The word of God is to your spirit what blood is to your body. The Bible is not the book of the week. It's not the book of the month. It's not the book of the year, friend. It is the book of the ages. That, my dear friend, is why I believe the Bible is true. Science proves the Bible. Prophecy proves the Bible. Archaeology proves the Bible. And the Bible proves the Bible.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, my precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him.